This is the Security Committee meeting, regular monthly meeting, November 5th, 2020 at 10 a.m. With that said,
hello everyone, welcome. I'm going to give us just another minute here to allow more attendees to log on.
Amelia, would you please mute everybody and then reactivate Tim?
I think that's my only hope this morning. Okay, Tim, it looks like you can still talk.
All right, thank you. Do we have any comments from the public on non-agendized items? Amelia, do you have any hands raised?
I do not have any hands raised.
Okay, moving on to item three, I believe it'll be the general manager that'll give this some monthly updates, item three.
Thank you, Tim. This is Tom Hennig. And the update, we've been putting off producing a security report for a couple months because of the absence of our security chief, Jeff Werblum. And I appreciate the patience of the general public for allowing us to get this in a manner in which we can reformat the report and be able to give credible information that I can discuss. So, right now, under operational updates, as you can see, we're going to begin holding team meetings with our security staff. It's hard to do because we're a 24/7 operation, but we have a meeting with half of them one morning and a meeting with the other half in an afternoon. We're hoping to have that take place next week. We're repurposing the Vips truck, which is a big deal to us because our Jeeps are in the shop all the time. And as soon as they get off their lease, we're going to replace them with something more productive that hopefully can be a good running vehicle for a long time. The Vips truck has 12,000 miles on it and it's 14 years old. So we're going to put some miles on it and see if the Ford Ranger is a good thing to have around. We've ordered a replacement for the South security gate where you go in and check in. That gate hasn't worked for years. And so it's time to replace that. There's a lot of issues related to the budget, and we're focusing on that, and we'll have cleaner budget reports going forward. We've already shared those with the general public. We interviewed a couple staff from PDF because we have two vacancies in patrol, and our guys are working very hard. We're canceling vacations, they're working 12-hour shifts just to maintain the minimum staffing. And I'm continuing to work on getting support to represent the security chief in his absence. We brought somebody on board and that didn't work out. So we're doing some more research on that and interviewing people. And then it's important to note that we're staffing according to the Measure J approved level of service, which is a gate officer at each gate and a patrol officer on duty 24/7, 365. Are there any questions about the operational update? No hands, Amelia?
I don't have any hands raised.
Okay. So moving on to the Rancho Marietta activity, the RMA activity. I'm meeting with RMA staff on a regular basis, discussing security. And it's somewhat of a complex process to kind of enhance or increase types of activities within a homeowners association. And apparently when you decide to do something like enhanced golf cart enforcement and change how we've done it in the past, you have to give notice, a 30-day notice to the residents. So our goal, and you know, we had a pretty serious golf cart accident this past week. An underage driver crashed the cart into the post and the fence over behind Riverview Park and sustained an injury. And so I'm working with Kevin to come up with a way to really begin enforcement of underage drivers and golf carts. We need to address this really fast. And then we continue to do non-architectural enforcement, such as stop sign enforcement, speed enforcement, parking enforcement. This is part of our agreement with the RMA. And then we also are participating as a added partner in the fire safety issues. And our focus is really on all the various gates, and then also assisting the those folks who help design these things with kind of pathways to the places where there might be an injury of sort, or, you know, if we have to do an evacuation, make sure all the gates are open and all the pathways are designed correctly. And so Rick Tompkins, our sergeant of security, is going to be working with that group to kind of tell them this is where we think we should be paying attention. So that's kind of the activities with the Army. And then with the Murrieta Village, I have regular conversation with Barb Pfaff. And we've come up with a solution. They want to put a camera on the light pole directly outside the entrance to the Murrieta Village. And we've got a solution, but we've got to work out some of the details. In the meantime, we're going to put a couple cameras up at that same location, I'm happy to say, and that's part of the Commercial Owners Association agreement. We're going to put up a couple cameras that point both ways on Murrieta Drive that enhance our extended enforcement of using surveillance camera as a force multiplier for our security division. And then with the Rancho Murrieta Commercial Owners Association, oh, first of all, are there any questions, any hands raised? Okay. With the commercial
owners. Yes, we had one hand raised.
Oh, okay. Hi, Richard.
Just a question about the cameras at the village. Do those include license plate readers?
That is the plan, yes.
Okay. Another question, just sort of off topic, about cameras and video storage. When those talked about before, some ungodly amount of money to store them on the cloud. Is that still the plan, or has that changed?
We have a server here, Richard, that we purchased and installed in the past few months. So our storage is local.
Okay, so there's nothing on the cloud anymore.
No, not
okay,
that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving on to the Commercial Owner Association activity. We anticipate to have those two surveillance cameras on Murrieta Drive by the end of November. Hey, Amelia, would you please check to see if people are not been invited into the meeting? You see anybody out there who wants in that's not been let in yet? Amelia?
I did have one person who...
Okay,
yes, she has joined the meeting. Hello, welcome.
Okay, and then with the Commercial Owners Association, I'm working on scheduling regular meetings with them, and I really want to see if there's something more obvious we can do in support of the commercial area. We patrol it all the time. Through the GPS systems, I see that our patrol officers are constantly going all the way back to the airport, all the way back to the OE3 area, through the village, past the equestrian center. But I want to see if there's a way we can begin evaluating the potential for issuing citations. And just in general, if there's violations, there's violations. And I'm really interested in us reactivating our practice of issuing county citations for issues like parking and handicapped parking spots and such like that. So that's some of the stuff we're doing with the various associations. Are there any questions?
I do have one hand up.
Richard, okay. Again. I'm wondering, who is this Rancho Murrieta Commercials Association? Are you talking about John Sullivan, or are you actually talking about people at the airport? And who is it you actually talk to?
Bradley Beer. Bradley Beer is at the airport, John Sullivan, and whomever else is part of that group. And we'll probably expand that to also the Association for the Murrieta Gardens II housing, but I just don't know who that person would be, but I know John Sullivan kind of coordinates all that stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, then the next issue is in the past, Jeff Werblum and probably his predecessors would create a spreadsheet of all the various things that the CSD was up to as far as issuing citations and such as that. And our stats would never match up with the stats that the RMA maintained. And since they're maintaining the stats, I elected to just utilize their stats. instead of creating stats that don't match and having to answer those questions. So basically, here's an activity for the month of October. You can see we issued a citation for somebody without a driver's license. We issued 5 speeding citations, 4 driveway parking, 11 overnight street parking. And what I'm going to point out is shortly after I was appointed as the GM, I made it a point that our staff began enforcing these non-architectural rules on a more active basis. Instead of just a limited amount of time to issue parking tickets, we are allowed to issue parking tickets between the hours of 2 and 6 a.m. every day. And in the past, we limited our ticket writing to about a 15-30 minute window each morning. And now it's just the 4-hour window. So there were a lot of citations issued in August, which I became the GM in June. It took me a couple months to get my feet on the ground. And then you can see that they're declining. And I think the enforcement is resulting in compliance. And that's the goal. Any cop will tell you that ideally they don't do anything. They just, they're present. They talk to the citizens. And if there's a problem, they deal with it. And then hopefully that presence creates the atmosphere where there's no problems. And I think that's part of what's going on, but we continue to work with the RMA and the village and the commercial property owners to see what we can do to make to meet their needs. After all, they're paying through Measure J the wages of the security staff. Are there any questions? That being said, let's move on. So Amelia, can you get to the incidents of note for September?
I can. There we go.
So for September, you know, we have about 12, 14 incidents that we decided to call out and just report on the report. And I'm not going to go through them all, but those of you who have the website in front of you, if there's any particular questions you have about any of these, I can try to answer them, or I can follow up with you individually. And then no questions?
No hands are raised.
Okay, and then would you please post the incidents that we developed this morning for October? And again, this is the first time many of you are seeing this. If you went to look at the security report last night or this morning, we've added this just in the last half hour. And again, if there's any questions as you kind of scroll through this, please let me know. No hands?
There are no hands or no chats.
Okay. And then let's move on to the next item, which is the joint security meeting. And we've had a number of conversations with who would be considered to be part of the joint security meeting, but not a formal meeting. And we're working with the RMA and the commercial property interests, as well as the village, on what a formal joint security meeting would look like. And so we're making progress on that. Again, right now it's just talk, but it will improve to more definitive action in the near future. All right.
Thank you, Tom. A couple of items. I agree with using the RMA summary sheet. I asked for almost 2 years to have one document. So I think that we're closer than not to having an overall view that really gives a better understanding of what security does and how they do it. So I like that. So as we move on, I think it's going to be one of those that that information is just going to get better. Also, with the more understanding we know of our internal computer system and what we have access to and the reports there, we can just then start adding that into our monthly activities report, if you will. There was one other question and it escapes me at this point, but if we don't have any questions at this point, Amelia, I'm going to move on to item number 4.
We don't have any questions.
All right, Tom, item number 4.
Item number four is the draft district surveillance camera policy. And this policy has been before this committee a couple times. And the interactive process of listening to our public, sometime results in enhanced product. And in this case, we took some suggestions from Richard to add to the camera policy. And we have before you the proposed district surveillance camera policy for review and comment. And then we're gonna request that we be allowed to take this to the board of directors on November 18th for formal adoption. So I'm not gonna read through the whole policy, but if anybody has any questions, like I said, it's been through the board a couple times before. So I'm open to questions.
Any hand raised, yes. Amelia?
Richard Gears does have his hand up.
Sure, go ahead.
I didn't have much time to look at this. It was just put out on the website last night at 4 p.m. So it looks pretty good, but I think it still needs a little work. I have a lot of comments, but I like I said, I really don't have much time to look at it. So I did have questions, but I'm really not prepared too well to ask them. But a couple of things, I mean, there seem to be some things that are missing. Not too many things that I came up with were too serious, but I did see some gaps and I had some comments and questions. Like I say, I'm not really prepared right now to do them. But one of the things I noticed that doesn't address license plate readers, and it seems like that should be in there. And I don't know what you do with them. And let's see. And I have a question about, you refer to that government code 53160. I think you received my comment before that I don't think that applies to like video at the entrance to Murrieta Village, because that code refers to videos of district operations. And that's not district operations being videoed there. I mean, it's used in video in operations, but it is not operation. And I think if you want to retain those videos for a year, I mean, you can do that, but don't sort of blame it on this government code. I don't think that justifies it. Like I said, I have a lot of questions and I don't really, frankly, I'm not prepared to ask them, so I guess that's the end of it.
Thank you. Tom, just refresh my memory. Since this is the latest draft, I know we've had staff at a few different levels look at this. So we've taken everything from the public, from staff, and this is our last best final draft, correct?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. I would make I'd give direction that we move it forward, put it on the board agenda for this month to have the other board members look at it. If we're going to adopt it, then it would be an action item as well.
Okay.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
You refer to this as a latest draft, but this draft is totally different from anything I ever saw before. I mean, radically different, completely different. So as far as I'm concerned, this is a first draft that I'm seeing of it. And I think it's appropriate to provide us more time to make comments and suggestions.
I understand what you said. Again, we've had this out at multiple levels to be looked at externally as well as internally. So this is staff's best recommendation of the document. historically, the district isn't real good about revisiting policies. Historically, my professional career policies are very fluid and they get updated. So even if we get this adopted, doesn't mean it's the last it's ever going to have a revision. The general manager is looking at what that process is going to be for review of all policies, because the worst thing that an agency can have is an outdated policy that's still in effect. So even though it may not meet 100% of what either the public or the district wants, if it's the best that we have and we don't have a document, then again, my recommendation is going to be it goes to the board for an action item, and with other policies as we move forward, when we have to update them, we in fact will update them from that standpoint.
And my comment is you're not meeting the public's comments at all, because like I say, it was put out there last night at 4 p.m. and it's radically different from anything we saw before. And that when, in effect, we're not given an opportunity to comment on it.
I disagree with that. Again, this document has been through various draft forms with inputs. At some point, an organization has to make a decision to go with what they have as their last, best, and final. That's what staff's recommendation is. There's nothing that causes me to say that not putting this forward is not in the best interest of the organization, especially since the cameras should be coming on board at the end of the month. Like I said, doesn't mean it's the last version. It just means we have this version, and if we need to update it, review it annually, then that's in fact what we're going to do. And again, the GM is working at looking at all policies when we review them and update them and those types of things. This organization has not done that in the past. So nothing compels me not to take staff recommendation and move it forward to the board, so the entire board can make a decision on it as the other board members see fit. Okay, moving on to item number five. And I have a couple of questions, Tom, but this will be for you, and then I'll just get to them at the end if you don't answer them. So item number five, please.
Okay, this is an informational item. It's informational item because the issue with security is more financial at this point in time than it is with security-based issues. And the reason is that, as everyone who's paying attention knows, the amount of money we collect from Measure J falls greatly short of funding the amount of money we need to run a security department as it has been designed over the past few years. So we have decided that the best route for us to take with the money that we set aside earlier in the year to do a rate study of security, to move that money to doing a security service opinion poll. And so we put out an RFQ yesterday. And was it yesterday, Amelia, that we put it on the street, or is it today?
Yesterday.
Okay. So we released this yesterday, and there are lots and lots of companies out there that do opinion polls. And if you're watching either CNN or Fox these days, you're realizing that sometimes the pollsters are not very accurate. But a lot of them are going to be available to bid on this now that the national election is behind us. The hope is to design a poll that allows them to ask the questions and go through the process of analyzing statistically valid information to determine what the, so to say, the appetite of the residences within the district are for what kind of security force they think they want. And then based upon that, determine if they're willing to pay for it. Today, the security budget falls about 25% short of meeting the needs as security has been designed to provide over the past few years. And so at a minimum, if you want to maintain that level of security, you probably are looking like a 25% to 30% increase in what you pay every month for security services. And so that's what we're asking for. And the process is very public issue. I'm getting quite a few questions. So I want to be very clear what the process is. Once we select a vendor, which we hope to do by December, and we take it to the board and award the contract in December at the 16th meeting. We begin the new year by holding some meetings, but key to the whole thing is meetings and workshops with stakeholder groups. And that's probably gonna take a month. Can you go down a little bit, Amelia, so we can go through phase one planning and design? So the workshops and from the workshops, we develop the survey questionnaire. And we prepare the data collection instrument, identify who they're going to sample. And, you know, you get calls all the time. Are you willing to take a survey? And so not everybody does. But Rancho Murrieta is a unique environment. And we expect to have more than enough people willing to answer the questions. And then come around in January. Or February, we figure if things go well, we're going to conduct the polling service. And the company said it usually takes 4 to 6 weeks to do all that, and they're good at it. So they come back hopefully with the polling results to the finance committee in April of 2021, and a presentation to the board in April of 21. And if it determined that more than 2/3 of the voters are going to support there being a new referendum, then we probably will recommend that we conduct a special election and see if it passes. As a governmental agency, if we want to assess our constituents, we have to get a 2/3 vote. If we fail to confirm that we're going to have a positive vote, then we'll go back to the board and say, here we are. We're going to try to live within our means of security. And then the board every year will have to determine if the level of general fund property taxes is available to meet the additional needs of security. You know, the other alternative, if it's clear that we don't have a 2/3 vote, but yet there is a very active group of people within the district who want to increase the rates of security, they can do a grassroots activity, and grassroots campaigns, referendums of sort, require there be a 50% plus one vote. So I hope there's questions about this, because I want to be very clear. This is what we're doing. And if you have any questions, we have the answers. I don't know what social media is telling everybody right now. This is our plan. The cost of doing the survey, I've said before, is between $15,000 and $25,000. That's my estimate. That's based upon, I've talked to a few pollsters about what they think this would run. And then the cost to hold a referendum is between $40,000 and $80,000. And that's literally the number I get from the voter of registrars. That's because it's a special election. They have to do a lot of work. And then if we determine we're going to go forward, we're also going to have to set aside some funds for a marketing campaign to make sure that if we're going to spend this money, it's successful. So that is the end of my speech. Attached to this document, if you scroll down, you see the opinion survey cover page. If you'll go down a little bit, Amelia, I appreciate it. And if you go to our website, you know, Amelia, I'm surprising you real quick. Is there a chance you can bring up the website?
Yes, you can.
So we've... over the past few months, Amelia has built a page on the website for RFPs. And when we get there, you'll see that we have two RFPs on the street right now.
Can you see it?
Yeah, good job. Scroll down a little bit. And there, right there. So community opinion survey. And if you click on that, what do you see? It should, what you're looking at on the other screen should pop up. There it is. All right. So now I'm ready to field questions.
And I currently don't have any hands raised. Oh, now I have a I have a chat from Jim. Jim, are you able to speak with us?
Okay, what's his question? We'll try to answer it.
Has the CSD explored grants for security funding?
No, we have not. I am not, for this type of item, I am not aware of any grants. I do know that the Department of Community Policing, I think that's the name of it, the federal name of it. If you'll remember back in the day, 1,000 Points of Light, and then the community policing initiatives of Bill Clinton that resulted in the COPS agency at the federal level. And most of those are, there were technology grants. I ran a couple of those in a previous, actually two previous jobs. And then there are staffing grants that are available that generally provide, I believe it was 80% of the cost of officers for 3 years. But I don't know if the Department of Community Policing has grants available for special districts, but it's a question we will ask. Any other questions? Looks like somebody's trying to talk.
Hi, Tom.
There are no hands raised, no chat.
Hi, this is Tim. I got kicked off my computer, so I phoned in. So I missed a couple minutes of it, but I know that John Merchant covered a lot of stuff in the Finance Committee meeting. Just a couple of thoughts. As we move forward, I think developing the questions, getting some input from the directors, I think it's going to be critical. Two things that jump out at me. As we move forward, especially with the stakeholders, I think the spreadsheet that we developed and we used at a prior meeting that breaks everything down from residents inside Rancho Marietta Association, residents outside. I think as we get ready to meet with people, we'll finalize those spreadsheets even more to explain to people. And then I think John, Director Merchant, has said a couple of times that here's a cost of a couple of options. We're not advocating any one option, but here's the cost of doing business at different levels. So as we move forward with this, I know the board's going to have a lot more input, and I think it's going to come in how we get the message out of what it costs today to do business, and how it's going to look potentially moving forward. So everybody understands, and I think you said it best, if we're underfunded by 25%, people need to know what that dollar amount is and what does that mean.
Thank you, Tim. We do have a few comments on chat. Crystal Matter is the first of which. She says, will any resident that wants to be involved in the stakeholders meeting be allowed to participate?
I understand the and I don't, Tom, unless you have an answer off the top of your head, I don't know exactly how the formatting is going to go. These are all going to be open meetings, so we can post them and those types of things. Nothing jumps out at me that says we wouldn't have public comment or input, especially since they're public meetings. The difference would be what of those stakeholders, and so the specific questioning and input would be a little bit different, but otherwise, I mean, I don't see a problem since they're public meetings. Who else do we have, Amelia?
I do have one other chat from Jim. Thanks, Tim. Will the development of the questions for the survey be open to the stakeholder, be open to the stakeholders other than directors? I may be asking the same as Crystal.
No, I understand. I think that and it's not necessarily that the directors need to come up with the questions. Obviously, the directors need to approve them, but the concerns, everybody wants to be able to capture as much information that's possible. And to that extent, as we move through this, if the concerns from the directors are met, then I don't think who the author is matters so much as we're able to get the needed information out and then the needed information back so that the directors can make a decision. Who else, Amelia?
Those are all of the comments I have, and I do not have any hands raised.
Very good. Tom, thank you. Thanks, staff, for doing the work. I think as we get closer with this, we'll be able to start putting together exactly what these meetings are going to look like. And like I said, they'll be tailored to who the stakeholders are. But as we compile this information, especially as we start to get our information that we're going to be able to move forward out, you know, we're still several weeks away from that. But as soon as we get that, that's something we can just throw up on the website and get it out there for everybody to take a look at. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Item number.
I do. If I may, I have a chat and I have a hand raised now. And those of you that are chatting me, Crystal, I know your last name, but I do like to report this in the minutes. So if you would kindly, you can personal message me or you can send me an email here at the district at awilder@rmcsd.com. Tell me your last name. I would really appreciate that. So this, I think, says I'm Brianna. How are we going to select who receives the survey, since it appears we are not inviting everyone in the community to do so? Given the ease of online communication, why can we not have all residents provide their input? Oh, maybe it's Imbriani. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm saying it right.
I see the question. I'll answer the question. I've been through this a couple times in the past as a staff member of an agency that does these opinion polls prior to putting a special election or an item on the ballot for the voters. And it's really a statistically scientific way of doing things. But the estimate we have from the two different polling companies I had pretty extensive conversations with feel that with the size of our population and after reviewing the demographics of our registered voters, including the separation of splitting the voters from the South, the North, the Village, the Gardens to the commercial, the commercials don't vote because they're not voters unless they live here, is that they think 400 is a valid sample. And that in doing 400 surveys with a good cross section of how they make their calls, they feel they can get a good solid answer and we'll go from there. You know, you've seen surveys numerous times over the years here at Rancho Marietta, and sometimes they're done by the RMA, sometimes they're done by the CSD, sometimes they're done on Facebook and Nextdoor. And those are what they are. But if I'm gonna recommend that the district spend upwards of maybe $125,000 to put a referendum on the ballot, I'm gonna go with the professionals and I'm gonna listen to what they have to say because I've seen it work in the past. So calling everybody is not the best way to do that. It's way too expensive and it doesn't enhance the message. So that's the answer to your question. Anybody else?
Thank you, Tom. Amelia, anybody else?
I thought I had a hand raised, but that person has put their hand down. So that is everything.
Okay, if you see one, just let us know. Tom, you talked a little bit, item number six, you talked a little bit about that, but it's on here as item number six, joint security discussion.
So I hear that there have in the past years been joint security meetings that they were productive. Then over the past few years, they became unproductive. And so they quit happening, but I want to have them, because security is such a critical part of what we do here at the district. I spend easily a third to half of my time on any given week and security related issues. And I just want to get my head around where the community is at on how we provide security. So a joint security committee seems like a good place to do that. So my discussion is, what is the desire of the security committee for moving forward with establishing regular or periodic joint security committee meetings? And that's the discussion I wanted to have out loud.
I agree with your comments that in the past, they were regular. Towards the last couple, if there weren't real agendized items per se, the meetings that we would normally reach out to people for, there just wasn't enough interest with it from that standpoint. But I think it's twofold now, Tom. One, because security has been brought up to where we're looking at it, A, from a financial standpoint, which is going to reflect a whole lot of things. So maybe what we do is, off of staff's recommendation, identify some of those key stakeholders, because I think they're going to be the groups that we're going to reach out to in this RFQ process for the opinion survey, but maybe we start that process and start calendarizing, if we do it quarterly, those types of things. I think some of it also comes back to, as we learn our record management system better, we can better develop reports that we can reach out to the key people that would be part of the joint security meetings from that standpoint. But I think at this point, we need to identify who's going to be it and then get it on the calendar, reach out to those people, and either we agendize it or we take their input for starting the agendized items.
Okay.
Because I want to say the last one that we had, I think it was on evacuations, and we had county OES, and there just wasn't specificity to detail that we would get from the county to be able to share with everybody. And so that was the last one that I know that staff set up to have. And that was sometime early 2019. And I just haven't had brought up from prior administration asking to have the meeting. So it's not that we don't want to have them. It's just, I think it's fallen through the cracks. So totally appropriate that you bring it up and we move it forward after identifying who they are and setting it up on a calendarized basis. Like I said, quarterly jumps out to me, but it might be something different.
Okay. I like that idea of working through some of these details and then committing to a quarterly meeting. That is absolutely what I was looking for, Tim. Thank you very much.
Got it. Amelia, any hands?
I do have a hand. Richard Gears?
Yes, I'd like to make a comment to Tom that one of the major shortcomings of past security meetings was, in reality, it was really a meeting between CSD and RMA, and everybody else was pretty much left out. I mean, literally, you know, CSD and RMA were at the table, and everybody else was in the audience. Like, I mean, the airport, OE3, the village, they really had almost no input into it. And I think if you're going to do these, you really need to avoid that situation. End of comment.
Richard, I agree with you 100%. And as you can see in my security report, I've partitioned out the village and the commercial interests, and possibly even the gardens too, as well as the RMA, as discussions that I'm having. So yeah, we're in lockstep on this one, Richard. Thank you.
And I really think that because of our, most recently, the last couple of months, that CSD is working specifically with RMA on the security issues. I think Richard's example is one of those where you're having those meetings continuously with the RMA GM, and we're dealing what's appropriate with that one stakeholder. This is one that, as the agency that provides security to everybody, everyone sits at the table. So, yeah, we're on the same page. So, again, I say you just work it back through, Tom, and just put it in your GM report to the board, and figure out where you need and when to start, and we go from there.
Okay.
Amelia, no other hands?
No hands, no comments.
Okay. Item number 7, any staff members, any comments, suggestions?
I have one comment, and telling all the committees that we're going to be closing the district offices early the day before Thanksgiving and the day before Christmas. That will be published on the website, and we'll also put a sign on the door leading up to those days.
Excellent. Thank you. The only thing I have is thank you again to staff. I think, Tom, your layout of the new formatting for the security committee, I like it. It identifies, especially on the monthly updates, very specific targeted areas of who our customers are. So with that being said, I know we have a ton of work to do, preparing stuff, moving things forward. It is what it is. We're going to get there. It's just going to take a little bit longer, but that's okay. So with that, if you don't have any hands, Amelia, I'm going to adjourn the meeting of the security committee at 10:50.
Thank you very much. I don't have any other hands or comments.
All right. Everyone have a great day. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.